Scripture reading is Psalm 90. We'll read that psalm together. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hadst afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Especially pay attention to verse 12 of the psalm. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Beloved people of God in Jesus Christ, this entire text is about wisdom. The three main parts to the text, first of all, and now in order from beginning to end of the text, first of all, so teach us, there's that request to be taught by God, so teach us, and then that which we desire to be taught, to number our days, to number our days. And then thirdly, that we may, the goal, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Each one of these is about wisdom. The word wisdom only occurs in the third part of the text, but each part is a part, an aspect of wisdom. Take note of that. Wisdom can be described as the right application of knowledge. The right application of knowledge. The text then begins, so teach us. And there the request is, teach us knowledge, that we may be wise. Teach us knowledge. And then secondly, to number our days, speaking of what we desire to be taught, to be wise. And thirdly, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, or to look at wisdom from another point of view, We can speak of wisdom as taking all things into account. That's the first element of wisdom, really, to take all things into account. And so the psalmist says, teach us, make all these things known to us that we may take them all into account. And then wisdom, after taking all things into account, is using the best means in the best way. Best means in the best way. Teach us to number our days. We may use that knowledge as a good means and use it in the best way. And then finally, to attain the highest goal, to apply our hearts unto wisdom, the goal of the text. I preached this text before for a New Year's Day in 2007 under the theme Numbering Our Days. Numbering Our Days, looking at that first of all, that idea of numbering our days. But tonight we'll take a different approach, and that because you young women who made confession of faith tonight are at an important juncture in life, and your whole life, as the whole life of all of God's people, is to be a seeking after wisdom. Your life is to be a life of living as wise young women. Then we look first of all at that, at the goal of the text, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then too, we'll look at how to do that in a wise way, praying that God teach us to number our days. And so we consider the text under the theme, applying our hearts unto wisdom. Applying our hearts unto wisdom. First of all, a serious desire. Secondly, a needed numbering. And thirdly, a dependent request. The text is a beautiful prayer of Moses, and in principle, this is the prayer of every child of God. God puts this in our heart. God puts this desire in our heart, this prayer within us. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is our prayer then, and this is your prayer. Caitlin and Kara, as having made confession of your faith tonight too. This prayer expresses the desire that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It's not a promise, although certainly there's a promise implied. Whatever the child of God is told, pray this, and given this to be as his prayer, the promise of God always accompanies that prayer, and I will grant this unto you. This is my promise to you. I will apply your heart unto wisdom. The text is not a command, although again, there's always an implied command with regard to the prayers that we find in the Scripture. The command really is, the command of God really is, pray this prayer and apply your heart unto wisdom. But really, the text is not a promise, it's not a command, but it's an expression of the desire of the heart of the child of God, a holy desire God has worked in us. And this desire is antithetical to the desire of the world, to the desire that is in us by nature. This desire is an aspect of our salvation. God puts this in the heart of His children to have this desire, that we desire wisdom and to apply our heart unto wisdom. God makes us different than from the world. It's not a matter upon which we will boast. We are so different from the world. As soon as we would open our mouths to do that, we look within us and we see much folly within us, much foolishness, much worldliness, much that makes us like the world. But nevertheless, we praise God when we say, God puts this desire within us and begins within us to work a different principle antithetical to that which is in the heart of the worldling. We desire to have wisdom. As we said, that desire is not in the world and not in us by nature. The world desires to live lives of vanity, triviality, emptiness, nothingness. That's the life of the child of the world. He desires after, longs for, seeks after emptiness, nothingness, folly. He does not approach life with a holy sobriety, with a seriousness, with a longing after wisdom. In fact, he hates wisdom. He wants nothing to do with wisdom. He rejects wisdom with everything that is in him. That's how we were before God changed us. That's who we are by nature, and that's who the world is. The goal of life for the child of this world is to live for themselves. Not to seek after wisdom and to live unto God, but to live for themselves. To live for pleasure. To live for possessions and the gaining and accumulating of possessions. To live for the praise and admiration of people, and to live following after his own evil passions. The child of this world seeks the wisdom of this world, all kinds of wisdoms. For God's people, there is but one wisdom of God, but the world offers all kinds of different wisdoms, all kinds of different goals and different ways and means to accomplish those multitude of different goals that the world sets out before us as things that we ought to strive after. That we do not desire, and you do not desire. In fact, that we hate, that folly, that vanity of this world. We hate that. But neither do we desire the wisdom of the church world, meaning now not a real wisdom of God, but of an apostate and apostatizing church world, a wisdom that perhaps we find is in our own hearts and in our own selves too at times, and which we ought to guard ourselves against. Essentially, the wisdom of that which calls itself church and calls itself the people of God, but really is not church and is not the people of God, that wisdom is essentially the same, identical, as the wisdom of the world, of the atheist, of the pagan. Essentially the same wisdom, fundamentally, only it's the wisdom of this world with the word Christ attached to it, with the word God over top of it, so as to make it appear holy, to make it appear as if it's true and God, godly wisdom. And that's the wisdom that says this: you have every right to, and you ought to desire to live a good earthly life here below. You have a right to that, and you can expect to, and you ought to seek after living a nice earthly life, a comfortable earthly life, a life of peacefulness, of pleasantness. Oh, and Christ too, You can have him too. That's the quote-unquote gospel of much that's brought to many today. You have Christ, but that's he is as if a decoration upon the rest of your life. Have a nice, peaceful, earthly, comfortable life, and Christ too. He can come in as well. And so then the prayer of the child of the church world, who's not sincerely seeking after the wisdom of God, maybe give me good health, give me a successful job, give me family happiness, and I attach myself to God because He's the one who gives all these nice things, and I want these things. Give these to me. And in exchange for that, I will give to you my service. So, the person of the false church makes such a bargain with God. That's not how we live. That's not the wisdom of God. That's not the wisdom of the Word. That's not the wisdom spoken of in the text. And that too, we do not desire. In fact, we reject that kind of wisdom. We hate that wisdom. We desire a whole life lived according to God's wisdom. God's wisdom. The goal of the wisdom of God is to glorify God. That's the single-minded goal and purpose of the one who has wisdom. He says, all the rest is immaterial. What must be in my life is that I glorify God, God who has loved me and the God who saves me by His grace and by His grace alone. Of course, we cannot glorify God apart from Christ. And so wisdom begins seeking Christ. Christ is God's wisdom, so that the child of God seeks Christ. The text says that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, means that we may bring our heart unto wisdom. God's grace working within the child of God is that in his heart he goes out unto Christ. Rather, Christ comes unto him, and at the same time, and as a response, he goes out unto the wisdom of Christ. We may apply our hearts unto Christ, really, the text says. That the child of God recognizes he needs, and we recognize we need because we recognize our sin. We recognize our fallenness, our depravity, our wickedness, our rebellion against God's law, and how that makes us guilty before God, and how guilt makes us liable to punishment, indeed everlasting punishment, on account of our sin. And so we seek Christ. There's no other solution. Anything else is folly. There are those who suggest you're not sinful. Those are old principles, old laws, and they ought to be out. They're outmoded. They ought to be set aside. Then we say that's folly. That's foolishness. That's not wisdom. That's not the wisdom of God. Make no excuse for my sin. I recognize my sin. When there are those who say, well, you can undo your sin by simply doing good works over against your sin so that you produce more good works than sins and your good works will outweigh your sin, then we say that's foolishness. That's not the wisdom of God. Those who say Jesus Christ died to make salvation available for you, It's there, it's waiting for you. All you have to do is accept. You have to contribute your part to the deal, and the deal's done. And your sins then can be forgiven. We say that's foolishness. We hate that. Want nothing of it. I am a sinner. The only thing I seek is Christ. Christ alone as the forgiveness of my sins and as the atonement thereof. He's the only one who has paid for my sins, the only one who can forgive me my sins, the only one who is righteous and therefore is righteousness for me and unto me. Since I have no righteousness of my own, I seek Christ and His righteousness to be mine all my life. Over and over again, as I sin, I seek Christ. As I again sin, I seek Christ. And as I continue to sin, I seek Christ. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom of God. But we need the wisdom of God and we need our Lord Jesus Christ not only as our forgiveness and as our righteousness, but also as the strength that we need to live unto God in the midst of this world thankfully and lovingly before Him. So in that too, we say, I desire to apply my heart unto wisdom. I desire to gain from Christ and to be given from Christ His own wisdom to be mine so that I may have from Him the strength to serve God, to glorify God, as that is, in the end, the desire, the one desire of all my life. I desire to serve God by seeking Christ as my righteousness. But I desire to serve God also by seeking Christ as the power to live unto God. Highest goal, as we said, the highest goal is God's glory. That is our sober, serious desire. We seek then to serve Him so that we say, as young women or as children or young people of the congregation, say, if I will marry, if that's the Lord's will for me, if the Lord leads me that way, if I will marry, then my goal in marriage is not my own happiness. Ultimately, it's not even the happiness of my spouse, but my goal in marriage is that I might glorify God in that marriage, that I might serve Him, that I might serve Him by being faithful unto my spouse, that I might serve Him by loving my spouse and causing them to be full of gladness and happiness, true. But my goal ultimately is that I might glorify God in my marriage. That's wisdom. And if God will give me children, my goal, my wise goal is not that I may have those children so that they may be a good reflection on me, so that they may bring praise and glory to me, so that I might see them succeed and it will say something about how wonderful I am. Nor do I desire children because they're cute, because it's a natural desire to want children. But I desire children, and I have children, and God gives me children, that I might glorify Him in parenting those children, recognizing again that they're God's own children. They're covenant children. They're not the children of the world. They're God's precious seed. And I raise them as such. under the glory of God. That's wisdom. And if God gives me many years and I come to be old and I see my children marry, then I see God grant to them covenant seed, then my desire is that I might glorify God as a grandparent. That's my goal, to glorify God in teaching and leading and guiding with wisdom my grandchildren. As we sing in Psalter number 192, stanza 1, "Forsake me not when I am old and gray, that unto those that follow me I may thy might display." That's the prayer of the child of God. Not simply, "Forsake me not when I am old and gray because I need this or that or I want this or that for myself, but forsake me not when I am old and gray because here is my goal. I need thee so that I might in my old age glorify thee by displaying thy might to my grandchildren and great-grandchildren if God gives me so many years and so many blessings in this life. And if in God's perfect wisdom Himself He makes me sick, gives me cancer or some other disease in my life, then I say, apply my heart unto wisdom, Lord, that in that suffering I might glorify Thee, that others may see my grace in that moment and may see Thy power in me and may glorify Thee together with me. And if God should make me poor, then I say with wisdom, only, Lord, use that and apply my heart unto wisdom so that in that I may glorify Thee. And if God were to make me rich or to God were to give me strong health, may I with those gifts glorify Thee and serve Thee. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom that we desire. And then we say too, and this is also part of wisdom as we look at the life that God gives to His people, we do not say, Lord, as many would say, we do not say, Lord, give me a nice life, give me a pleasant life. I sure hope everything goes just as I've dreamed when I was a teenager. I've got all these ideas of how life ought to be and give me that. But I recognize I might need to suffer too. And if I should need to suffer, give me the grace to serve Thee and glorify Thee. But rather we say, Lord, whatever is Thy will with my life, have Thy way with me. I am Thy servant. Whatever Thou dost need to do, use me, and use me to glorify Thee, and not if I suffer in that service of Thee, but when I suffer. For it's inevitable, it's part of the child of God's life. In God's perfect wisdom and always in His grace, He leads us always through suffering unto glory and joy, so that then with wisdom we say, when I suffer, give me grace to glorify Thee. It makes a profound difference, young people and young children. We ought not to look at our life and say, I hope it all goes well, but if I should suffer, then give me grace. But we ought to say, I know my life will be a struggle. It will be a battle. It will be a striving against sin and a suffering in the midst of this world and a suffering because I am Christ. And He's told me that's what to expect as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at life that way, then we're braced, we're ready, we're leaning upon the grace of God and upon the mighty arm of God, so that when suffering comes, we say, as I expected, only Lord, give me grace now, that in this I may glorify Thee. Apply my heart unto wisdom. Lead my heart into that wisdom. That wisdom. And cause my heart to be brought into that beautiful wisdom. How is it, though, that I can have that kind of wisdom? The text says, by counting, by numbering our days. We can't be wise if we're not engaged in that wise activity. Not really. We can't be truly wise if we do not take an account of our days and number our days. And the fact is, again, by nature, we will not number our days. The child of this world wants nothing of that. He wants to live for today and forget about tomorrow. Let's not think about those morbid facts of a certain limitation upon life and an inevitable death. But the child of God says it's the way to wisdom. I need to count my days. To count and to number is to recognize that we have a limited number of days. As soon as we think of the fact of numbering our days, immediately we recognize, well, there's a limited number, not an infinite number of days that God gives to me. There's a limited number. The Scripture suggests 70 years and 10, 70 years. If a person is exceptionally strong, Scripture says maybe 80 years. 70 years, if I were to count those days, would be 25,550 days. If I were to die in old age, 70 on up, perhaps 25,000 to 35,000 days. Perhaps if we were to wonder, we were to ask the question earlier without doing any addition or mathematics, how many days? Perhaps we'd say, well, it must be 100,000, a couple of 100,000 of days in the lifespan of a normal life. Rather disconcerting, perhaps, to recognize it's 25,000. We live to be 100 years, 36,500. A very limited number of days. Could be the remainder of our days is only 110. Maybe 10 days. Maybe 1 day. The fact is, we don't know the number of our days, and that's not the point of the passage either. To have us count out how many days we have left and then to think of how many days we have remaining yet in our life, so that we can live in a certain way in the remainder of those days. But the fact is, to remind us of the frailty of life, the limitation of life, the passing of days and the passing of opportunity to serve and to glorify God in our life. About 7,000 days have already finished at 19 years old. Our lives move quickly. But numbering our days means also that we must evaluate our days, must give an assessment to the days that God has given to us, must look at the days that have already passed and say, where have I been? What about those days? And we must look at where we are presently. What about the days God has given to me right now? Am I living unto His glory? And what about the days where that will yet come? Where am I going? What direction am I heading? What foundations have been laid? Foundations of God's Word. What about my wisdom and clinging to that Word of God? And again, our evaluation ought not be our own private evaluation, but our evaluation must look at how God were to view things and then bring our evaluation into harmony with God's, so that our view of things is God's view of things. Numbering our days is needed, in short, to put things in perspective, to remind us this life is not everything. This life is not even the main thing. This life is but a brief passing moment, and then everlasting days in God's presence and glory. That's what God's given to us. That's what He's promised us. That is sure and steadfast, as unchanging as are all of His promises. God says we ought to number our days. He means recognize that, first of all. Recognize you are going to glory, perfection, and God will preserve you, and God will take you there, and God will bring you into His presence there, and you will live there with Himself, with all of His redeemed, triumphant church, all of the angels, forever and ever, to glorify Him, to serve Him, to praise Him, forever and ever. Now in that light, look at the brief span of days you have here in this life. Look at how brief our life is here. And recognize then, and then we do recognize too, our life is but a pilgrimage. It's but a passing through. We're not meant to stay here. We're not meant to settle down here. We're not meant to make this our abiding place and the home of our heart, the place that we love. Love not the world, God says, neither the things of the world, but recognize that you are pilgrims and strangers. You don't belong here. You're only here for a time. And then it occurs to us, doesn't it? The chief goal of our whole life, according to wisdom, is to glorify God. We have but little time for that glorious, glorious goal and purpose. And how much time haven't we wasted already? How much time have we let slip by, pursuing the world, thinking of the things of this earth, building up for ourselves our own kingdom and our own world and our own things, rather than seeking to glorify God? How selfish, how foolish we've been, how untrusting we've been, how feeble we are. Teach us, then we say, Father, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, unto serving Thee in all things. We need to be taught then to number our days. We can't do it ourselves, and we won't do that ourselves. We won't. We don't want to think about the frailty of our life. We don't want to think about the fact that we will die someday, and we might die even soon. By nature, we don't want to think of those things, and so we must come to God and we pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me to number my days. Teach us this holy activity. That's a confession. That prayer of the text, that prayer that we utter as God's children, that's a confession of dependence on God. That's a confession in itself of the glory of God, the greatness of God, the grace of God, the power of God, and all of that in contrast to our feebleness, our weakness, our inability. Come to God and we say, Lord, I can't. By nature, I won't. But I want to, by thy grace. So teach me. I depend upon thee. Teach me to number my days that I might apply my heart unto wisdom. And he answers that prayer. God answers our prayer as we pray to him to teach us to number our days. God teaches us in various ways. He teaches us primarily by his word. As he always delights primarily to come to his people and speak to us and reveal himself through the word and talk to us as his children and as his friends, his covenant friends in Jesus Christ. He speaks to us the word. He tells us, your days are brief. Heaven is your home. This earth is but a pilgrimage. Be aware of those things. Live in the light of those things. Number your days. Assess, evaluate your life. Live unto my glory. What a glorious, worthwhile life that is. Live unto my glory, not your own vain pursuits. Teaches us these things through his word, but he teaches us also, doesn't he, through the events of our life, through the difficulties of life, sometimes through shocking events in our life. As he's reminded us again this past week, life doesn't always last to 70 or 80 years. Sometimes the Lord takes us at a very, very young age. But he takes us to glory. He takes us to heaven. And he teaches us who remain here through those events. He works good for his church. He works good in our hearts. He teaches us soberly, humbly, to count our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom and to live unto his glory. Not only through events in life, but as those events are brought under the light of his word, then, beloved, always cling to his word. Don't ever view events in life, whatever they might be, struggles, trials, hardships of every sort, death of loved ones, friends, acquaintances. Don't ever view those things apart from the word. What a miserable, horrifying life that is. How comfortless we're left. How we're left in foolishness and without wisdom. But go through these events, clinging to his word, viewing them in his word, and you gain wisdom, and you grow in wisdom, and you live in that wisdom, and God answers your prayer. So teach us. And he teaches us, beloved, because he loves us. Teaches us because he loves us in Jesus Christ, because he loves himself and he loves his own wisdom. And he delights to share his wisdom with us because, again, he loves us. And so he answers our prayer and he gives us his own wisdom. As it were, he opens up the windows of heaven and pours out unto us his own wisdom in Jesus Christ, his Son, who comes into our hearts by the Word and teaches us and gives us the strength and the ability to make an accurate assessment of our life, to count our days, that we may, by God's power and grace, apply our hearts unto wisdom and live in whatever circumstance He brings to us and leads us in, to live to the glory of His name. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, how much we need to hear it. We confess before Thee that we are foolish by nature. We are vain and frivolous, and our lives are lived without the kind of depth of thought that we ought to have. But Father, forgive us for these sins and assure us again that we are forgiven, and do hear our prayer as Thou hast taught us to pray from Thy Word. Hear our prayer to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that then, hear us in Jesus' name and answer us in grace. Apply to us Thy own wisdom, that we may grow therein, and that we may praise Thee and glorify Thee, even for giving to us that precious gift of Thy own Son and Thy own wisdom in and through Him. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.